these times that we live in will cause us to prepare for what's coming. What is here and what's coming. Amen?
Amen.
You all know that I've been warning you since last year about what's coming and how to prepare. How we prepare as a body of believers, how we prepare personally and individually, how we prepare and get ready for the changes that have come and are going to continue to come to our country and to our state, which really impact and affect our lives. Now, my heart is that everybody in this church, I know people outside in other states are even listening to what we've been teaching. And my heart is that everybody who hears the word and prepares themselves will be able to much more easily go through these times. We had a little deliverance last week, for those of you that were here. You know, deliverance is a part of salvation, right? Comes with God's grace. How'd that go? It was about being delivered from the media and being glued into that giant sucking sound that's trying to take your faith, rob you of your grace, impact your mind, fill you with fear. It was about the anger and the depression and the sadness that we as people and people around us have been battling. It's about all that the demonic is trying to do. Did anybody get delivered? Anybody have a testimony? Okay. Well, if you want to share it with me later on, I'd like to hear it. Okay? Because living in this deliverance from all these things that are inside of us, the things that we battle, the things that come on us, the things that try to stick to our lives, those issues that try to affect us, even sin. Living in deliverance is a part of what God's given us by His grace. Amen?
Amen.
In Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Now in the Hebrew, to be still means be relaxed. Be at rest. Be at peace. And know that you know that you know that I am God. No matter what happens with this government, no matter what happens in this state, be still and know that I am God. I'm a little conflicted this morning. I want to get into the message, and yet I feel like I need to share this. You must not let what happens in the government from now on rule your life. Do you understand? You must not let what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Congress, and the courts are doing rule your life. You are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The spirit of Antichrist has taken over the leadership of our land. In the executive branch, in the Congress, many of the courts, not everybody, but many have given themselves over to the demonic. Many. And what we've seen in this first week, 10 days, we're going to see a lot more of. As I told you last year, things are going to settle for a little while. But the push against you and me is coming. And it's real. Don't get satisfied and content in thinking that this is not really the last days or the times, because we're facing it and we're in it and you're going to go through it. Let me read to you Proverbs 29, verse 2. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. We've been through some of that. But when the wicked rules, the people groan. And we're going through that. And there's more coming. Verse 16 says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. But here's the promise. The righteous will see their fall. Our God is bigger than the God of this age. Our God is bigger than the God of this age. Start ungluing yourselves and continue to do this from allowing the rulership of what happens day by day, minute by minute, in what the media is presenting, even Christian media. You know, a lot of Christian media, you know where they get their news stories from? They get it from the legacy media. Much of it, right? Stop being so glued on the media and glue yourselves to the Word and to the Lord and allow Him to rule. No matter what's going on, the church, and I'm talking about us, you and me, we have to stand for righteousness in the midst of all this ungodliness that's going on. We have to do it. We must do it. We can go hide under a rock and pretend or act like and not say a word about Jesus Christ, or not live like there's eternal life, or not allow for the presence of God to be in us and affect the people around us. Or we can live like true disciples of Jesus Christ. And doing that, we're going to get targeted. We are going to get shot at. I don't mean literally, necessarily. But we are going to be persecuted. Because that is the intent and that is where we're going. And you have to know this. The Lord's been speaking to me about this very clearly. And I have to tell you this. You are going to get persecuted if you make a stand for Jesus Christ. Because they, the world, the spirit of Antichrist, hates disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you think at all that it's not going to happen here, it is going to happen here. And you are going to see it. Whether it's the next year or 2 years or 3 years, but I'm telling you, it's coming. Whether Joe Biden stays as president or Kamala Harris takes over, whatever the theories are, no matter what happens, you and I are going to get targeted if we make a stand. But the only way things are going to change, the only way that things are going to change is if we make a stand for Jesus and we allow the righteousness of God and the reality of the truth come through our lives and through our mouths. It's the only thing that's going to make a change in this country, in the lives around us from this time on. We need to stand and pray. We also need to get off our knees and do something. Do you understand? We can't be sit on your complacency believers anymore. We can't do that. We must stand for something. We must. This is the conflict inside of me. This is hard stuff to share. We have to get up and we have to do something now. We have to pray. We have to believe God for the exposure of the corruption. But we've got to do things. We've got to act on the gospel. We have to bring that gospel message to the world around us. We have to bring the reality of the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation to the people around us, whether they want to hear it or not. It's not our responsibility to get them born again. That's the Lord's and the Word's. But it is our responsibility to share the gospel, to live the gospel, and to stand for righteousness. It is our responsibility. If we are not doing anything, this is not meant to be condemning. We need to repent. Because the world around us, it's almost over. And because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is known. Whether you do anything or not, you are going to get persecuted, one way or the other. What Pastor Rosie shared this morning about the church in China and the Chinese, most of the Chinese have gone to prison, particularly the leaders. Been persecuted. Been tortured. Not very nice. The United States is going there. It's hard stuff to hear, but it's reality. And God is telling me, you have got to hear these things. All of us do. We have got to know this, and we've got to be aware of it. Because when the time comes, when somebody says to you or me, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Are you a Christian? That's when you'll know what you're going to do. Because it's coming. In this country, the agenda is already there. The Antichrist spirit has laid it out. The ideology for this is already laid out. The pattern. The people are in place who have given themselves over. We're here. Now, prepare yourselves to make a stand. And you're the only ones that can do that. Okay? Okay. That's a hard thing to share in the morning, I got to tell you. I would much rather share a message on how good God is and His grace and His love and how much He gives to us and has given to us, and that would be so much easier. God wants His people prepared. He wants His church, His body, ready for what's coming. Amen? Amen. Pastor Rosie said this morning, I don't know how many of you listened to the class that I did last time on how to start and lead a Bible study. I'm going to keep pushing this because someday we're going underground in this country. It is important that we have groups of people willing to share the word with each other, encourage each other, build each other up in faith and in the word. Amen? So I encourage you to listen to it. It's on the, I had the last day's messages I gave last year and how to start and lead a Bible study bundled together as a download on our website. Anyway, they're on there for you, and other people from, not even from this church, are tapping into this. Again, I'm not the only one preaching this or bringing this out. But there is a handful of us that I know God has spoken to help get the church ready. So this is my heart, and this is available for you. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, let's get in the Word, shall we? Amen. The series title is Faith Wins. Faith Wins. And it is important to get our eyes on our God and understand that faith in Him never loses, never fails, ever, never. I finished last week with the formulas of faith. Of course, the answer to the formulas of faith is there are no formulas. to faith, right? The whole point and the whole understanding that God wants us to get from that in formulas of faith is that the reason we do not have formulas when it comes to faith is because we would make a work out of it. We would make it something to perform. We would plug in the factors so that everything is just right, whether we really knew God or not, whether we really believed him or not. We plug in the right factors, we get what we want. And we would have a tendency to make it complex. But ultimately, we would turn a formula for faith into a work, what we call a work, where it becomes not from the heart or belief in the heart, but it comes out of something that we do to earn what God has given us. Or it becomes a way to manipulate God or to hold him hostage so he has to do for us. Formulas of faith, there are none. It is only believing God. Amen? Faith always wins. Now, even in the difficulties that we face now, and the difficulties that are coming, you know, they're no big deal to the Lord. Right? Right? Romans 8, verse 31 and 32. Romans 8, verse 31 and 32. Let me read this to you. What shall we say then, we the church? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Verse 37, yet in all these things that we face, that we go through, that is coming, that is trying to steal or destroy in our lives, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How does that happen? Because we live by faith. And we're going to continue to live by faith. Remember, the just shall live by faith. So if right now, with everything that's going on and continues to go on, and please understand, it's going to continue. While it smooths out for a little while, and then it's going to get a whole lot worse. In all of that, if you're feeling like the deck's been stacked against you or that all hell has broken loose, I always like this. Yogi Berra, if you ever watch baseball, Yogi Berra, this is going back a ways, said, it ain't over till it's over. Okay? No matter what you're looking at in the circumstances, no matter what you're looking at in supply or what you're looking at health-wise or what you're looking at and on the promises of God, it ain't over till it's over. If God says it's yours, faith wins. If God says, I've done it and I've given it to you, if you believe him, faith wins. Every time. No matter what the external circumstances look like. It doesn't matter. Amen? Amen. So don't limit his grace by limiting your faith. Don't limit his grace to you by limiting your faith. And we limit our own faith. And again, God's grace is always his ability, his capability, his power, and his favor that we cannot earn, but he gives as a gift freely to work in our lives. All right? Those who did not limit their faith in God's grace, and grace is all through the Word, and this is on top of what we call the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And let me run this. This is not complete. This is not exhaustive. But let me run down this list. I'm reading through this all week, really, off and on all week. I do a lot of study during the week. And all week long I'm reading through this. And I got to tell you, every single time when I'm reading the Word, and I've read this, I don't know, hundreds of times, I read these events. And I think about these events, and I mean, every time I'm marveling. It's the same today for all of us. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, walked around a city, blew some horns, and shouted. And huge, massive walls guarding the city fell down. They conquered the city and they conquered the country. Israel did. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, and these are only some things, defeated the 450 prophets of Baal all by himself with God, by the God who answers by fire. Go back and read the story. It's really good. Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 4, did twice as many miracles as Elijah. But the one thing I wanted to point out, he raised the dead. Raise the dead. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, with 300 men, defeated the whole army of Midian. And God did that. This is his grace in action by faith. Hezekiah, 2 Kings, chapters 18 and 19, surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians. In the Assyrian army, overwhelmed and automatically going to be conquered. That's a done deal. He prayed. And God defeated them. And 185,000 Assyrian enemies were defeated all at once. Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, and this goes. Joseph, you know, Joseph's story goes almost all the way from chapter 37 through the rest of Genesis. But Joseph went from a slave to the second most powerful man in Egypt. God's grace through faith. And then Jesus, who emptied himself of all things God, Philippians chapter 2, and took on flesh, became the Son of Man, and this still blows me away. He became each one of us, but he believed God. He emptied himself of all things God and took on flesh and lived as the Son of Man to show us what we could do by faith. And living by faith, and of course, in righteousness, he provided salvation for the whole world that would believe, and became the substitution for sin and sickness, for eternal life for all of us. Then the book of Acts, which continues right now through today. And in every one of those situations, and many, many, many more, faith won. God's grace supplied. But faith always wins if we'll stay in faith. So what did they understand that we don't? Anybody struggle with faith at times? Don't raise your hands. We struggle with faith and staying in faith according to the Word of God for a number of reasons, which I'm going to cover. But please understand, this is a growth process. But God wants us to get up to speed. I mean, that's His will. Not condemning, but His encouragement, because His intent is for us to have everything that he has supplied and continue, no matter what the external situation is in our country or our state. So what did they know that we don't? What did they understand that we don't? Here it is again, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They believed the promises God had given them. Anybody ever looked up the promises of God? Anybody have a promise book? Go ahead. Anybody? Three. Okay? Here's my suggestion to you. We hear about all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. We hear about all the promises of God being yes in Jesus and amen in him. So be it. Done, given, right? What are they? What are those promises? You know, you can Google it. Yes, an ungodly system, corporation like Google, can point you to the promises of God. Because it's on the internet. There are books written about the promises of God. Do they all apply immediately and perfectly to you? No. But many of them do. Some were very specific for that time and that person. God didn't tell you to go out and kill the Midianites and that you're going to have victory over Midian. Okay? That promise is not for you. Right? Okay. So you want to go through, you want to understand, but God's promises to you are huge and numerous. But you have to know what they are. They are even more than what comes with salvation. Listen, eternal life, God's kind of life to us is so huge in the meaning and the depth and the width and the breadth of what he's speaking about. Jesus gave us eternal life to those who would believe, those who would accept him, those who would take on and say, yes, Lord, be my Lord, be my Savior. That means I get healing and deliverance and preservation and righteousness, forgiveness. Wow! Of every sin, past, present, and future. I get joy and I get peace. I get power inside of me. I get your presence inside of me. This is all God's grace to us. You know, everything that you can believe and believe for in his promises, they are yours. Because the supply has already been given. Huh. Why am I not seeing it? Mostly because, this is where we struggle, we don't really believe faith always wins. That's what it comes down to. And we don't believe it, and we struggle with it. We struggle with faith winning in our lives because there's some things that we don't know, some things that maybe haven't been making sense, or some things that maybe we haven't plugged into our understanding, or that we haven't searched out or looked at. Do you know that one of the hardest things, and I don't know why this is, not this church, but for many people who call themselves a disciple of Jesus Christ, won't read the Word. Go to Facebook, I'll get a message. I'll plug into somebody who's doing a teaching, but will not go to the Word themselves and get the Word to them so God can breathe that word into their minds and their hearts and bring that revelation that transforms their life. Most of the time, and not you, most believers get regurgitated word. And it's somebody else's revelation. It's somebody else's understanding. It's somebody else's teaching. It's somebody else's, might be have some different doctrine in it. Because many young or immature believers don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Consequently, they have a hard time plugging in their faith and seeing faith win. It is important that we get the word in us. I mean important. And there's reasons for this. The title of this message today is called The Winning Combination. And that's what I want to cover, okay? I want to finish up this message with the winning combination for faith to win so that it really makes sense. Number one, knowing God. It sounds so simple, knowing God. We come to God when we're born again with all these preconceived notions. All these preconceived judgments, understanding, these things that we think that God is. We think that he is either the God of the Old Testament or the God of the New Testament. He's a God of the Word. He's a God of all creation. He's just God, and he's never changed. And everything that he is through Jesus Christ in the Gospels, everything that Jesus pictured him as with love and compassion and healing and touching and loving and hugging and sharing his life and laying down his life, he is in the Old Testament. He's not two different gods. He's the same. Every time, everywhere. When we read the Word, we come at the Word so many times with a preconceived notion or ideas or thoughts or maybe things that we've been taught in the past, like God is sovereign, he's going to do this, he's going to hit you with a lightning bolt if you don't turn around, he's going to chastise you. Do you know chastisement was, I'm going to go off a little bit. Do you know who authored chastisement as being, Hebrew speaks about, a loving father chastises his son. Instructs, gives some warning, gives some correction. Augustine. I believe it was Augustine. Anyway, about 300 AD. Determined that chastisement was meant as a punishment, as a beating. God chastises the ones he loves. He beats them. He puts things on them to teach them. We come to God and want to know God with an idea like that. Do you know? That's not a loving father. Those are the things that we bring into knowing God, and they've got to be changed. We need to know him in a depth of relationship. I'm talking about the Father, intimacy with him, intimacy with the Son, and intimacy with the Holy Spirit. To know him in a kind of knowing that builds trust. You know, trust doesn't happen overnight. From the time we're little kids, anybody remember this? There is no Santa Claus. Yeah, there's Santa, and then there's no Santa. Well, you just devastated me. I remember that. I grew up, Catholic. So everything's permissible when you're Catholic. Kidding? Okay, I'm kidding. Children learn to distrust. They start. Jesus said you got to come with faith as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a pure, simple belief. It's an absolute trust. It's a dependence on you're it, you're all I've got. You take care of me. You're it. I love you. And you love me, and I can trust this, and I can lean on it, and I can cement my life on this. That's what Jesus is saying. But kids learn to distrust, and we have to relearn as adults, or anytime you're over the age of about 8, to learn to trust God. Knowing him and trusting him are two different things. Knowing him for his character. Rosie had said it this morning about his names and understanding what his names mean and the depth of that, which gives his character and his integrity and his love and shows, really reveals who he is. Knowing Jesus Christ gives us a picture, like a movie of him. Knowing him and then trusting him to the point where you can say, you know what, no matter what happens, I can trust you. Knowing him and trusting him in a depth of relationship. It's really getting God's heart and making his heart dear to us. We know him, we know his heart through his word and through prayer. So many resist the word and resist prayer and wonder why faith doesn't win in their lives. Okay? I'm going to give you the scriptures because I'm running out of time. 1 John 4, 8, and 9. I want to read it quick. He who does not love does not know God. If we struggle with love, either way, it means we don't really know God for who He is and His love for us. For God is love. It's an abstract concept to us because love comes with conditions to us. There's no condition in this. This is a part of learning to know Him and to trust Him. In this, the love of God was revealed toward us that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him based on nothing we do except saying, okay, I want you, I believe you. Number two, these first two items in understanding how faith wins are probably, to me, the most important. Living and walking with Him as a son or as a daughter who is accepted unconditionally by Him. Here's a reality. I have known the Lord for 40 years now. Walked with Him, surrendered my life to Him back in the mid-80s. I mean really surrendered. I had a family member told me, who's not really walking with the Lord, said, man, when you turned Christian, you went all the way. And I didn't know they even felt like that. And I knew God. And I've had miracles and the supernatural operate in my life for a long time. If I ever write a book, I'd love to share some of the magnificent things God has done even before I knew grace. It's been incredible. Miraculous supernatural things happening right before my eyes. I'll share this one with you. You know what? Are you okay if I go over 5 minutes? When I was married before, my wife was very emotionally unstable, very sick, lots of major problems, and she just walked out. And I was going to work one day, and I had a really stressful job, high stress job, and I'm driving to work, and the Lord, I mean, He spoke to me so clearly, you couldn't miss it. He said, pray for her. And I said, I don't want to pray for her. No, He said, I want you to pray for her. So I started praying for her. And I'm driving down. I turn into this long, about a half mile long driveway to get to the plant, the factory that I worked in. And as soon as I turn in the driveway, there was a dove. Pigeon, morning dove, dove. I don't know what it was, but I knew it was a dove. Out my left window. And I'm in my truck. And I kept looking at, I'm driving, and I slowed way down, way, way down. And this dove was flying at my eyeball height, gliding next to my window, probably a foot away from my window. My window was closed. And all the way down the driveway, all the way, I sped up, I slowed down. I thought, this is really weird. This dove stayed right there. And I turned in the parking lot, and the dove all of a sudden kind of did this and went up and was gone. Went gone. And I got into the parking lot, and I sat in my truck, I said, God, I believe you're trying to tell me something. And he said, because I was feeling very unloved at that time, why should I pray for somebody that did all the things that they did in my life? He said, do you see how perfectly I controlled that dove? Do you see how I did that? And this was as close to audible as you can get. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, I'm in control of everything in your life for you. And I love you. Now, I'm sharing that to say, we do not understand God's love for us as a son or as a daughter. We don't. We understand comparatively based on how we were raised or somebody else's parents or whether we didn't have a father or not. We don't understand the Father's love for us as a son or as a daughter, that unconditional love because I just love you, not based on anything you do or will do, but simply because I am love and I love you and you are a son or you are a daughter. That's it. We don't understand it. And we don't understand the acceptance in the beloved that that comes with. If we know God, who He really is, minus the preconceptions, minus the bad doctrine, minus the things that we've been brought up with, if we know Him that way and we understand what it is to be loved as a son or a daughter and accepted unconditionally by Him, when we get to that point, everything will change in your life. Faith will rise up. Trust will take place like it never has before. You will see things happen in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your external circumstances that you could never do and you could never dream of because you're accepting His love for you, for who He is. It's like it's getting through. It's getting through. This is how Jesus lived. When Jesus walked this earth, He walked as a much loved son, accepted by the Father. Period. Our acceptance of what Jesus did for us gave us the same sonship or daughtership and acceptance as Jesus has. So my prayer is that help me understand more deeply. More deeply. And I'm going to tell you that the Lord's doing this in me right now, as much as I've walked with the Lord and as much supernatural as I've had happen in my life. God's doing these things with me still. And it's deepening and getting bigger, getting richer, getting better. But the understanding of being a son, not based on what I do, how successful I am, how big the church gets or doesn't. I'm loved. Period. I'm accepted. I had somebody tell me the other day, and it was really cute, you'll probably hear this on the podcast. They said, this grace is hard work. This grace is hard work. I mean, he meant it. But he understood what he was saying. I said, we had a good laugh. Because he has had a very difficult time laying down the performance mindset and earning God's love and God's grace and the promises that come from a loving God who unconditionally cares and loves and accepts us. It's a hard thing to go from performance into grace sometimes. It's like laboring to enter into his rest. It is not based on what we do. If I never did another thing for the Lord in my life, right now, if I quit right now, everything, do you know God would still love me the same? And I'd still be just as accepted. And you know that's getting through to me? And don't tell me that most of us don't wrestle with this, because we do. Because everything in our lives is based on performance. Now I'm getting off again. Let me get back on track. Because we want to understand how faith wins, right? So knowing God relationally, building trust, living and walking with him as a son or a daughter, and really understanding our acceptance, no matter what. Number three is the absolute expectation of his faithfulness to us. And his faithfulness by his word to us, no matter what. We really expect God to let us down. Most of the time. We expect God to fail. We expect him to forget about us. We expect him to let us down. We expect him not to answer. We expect him, nobody will ever say this when we talk about faith. But in our hearts, it's the way we feel. And we really expect, we are not confident that he is faithful, because we don't know him, because we don't understand being a son or daughter, and we don't understand the acceptance that we have. And we expect him to be unfaithful because people have been unfaithful to us. He will never, ever, 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 ever let you down. Never. You can have the scriptures for these later. I'm going to finish up. Number four, our feelings and external circumstances rule our lives most of the time. Here's why. Because we allow it. We choose to say, okay, rather than us ruling and reigning over the circumstances and the situations and our feelings, we allow them to rule over us, and we magnify them rather than magnifying him. Whatever we magnify has power over our lives, period. Want faith to win? Start magnifying him. Number five, thank you. Most of us have idols in our lives. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols, or guard yourself from idols. Amen. And he throws this in the very last part of his letter. And it's like, what were you thinking, John? Why did you stick this in the very end of your letter to the church? Not in context, it's like he's taking this out of the air. Because ultimately, all of us have some type of idol in our lives, or idols in our lives. And an idol is something that we worship, we set above the Lord, we spend our lives, our time giving to it, sacrificing to it, hoping that it will meet our needs. The idol of our feelings. The idol of self, self-centeredness. The idol of relationships. The idol of Facebook. The idol of, it could go on and on and on. You know, there's millions of Hindu gods. Well, the Hindus are not the only ones who have a a lot of gods. Most believers have idols in their lives. It stems the flow of faith because it divides our hearts. If we have idols, we need to get rid of them. Number six, hearing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and obeying. It's okay to hear, but we don't always have to obey. Do you know God calls us to obedience for our sake? It's for our help. It's for our benefit. It's for us. When he says, this is my will, this is what I want you to do. It's for us. I hear the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14. I'm led by him. But no, I'm not going to do that. Not that part. I'll do part of it, but I'm not going to do all of it. Or I'm going to do this instead of that because that's almost the same. Hear and obey. Faith will win. Hear and obey. Lastly, be determined to push the envelope of faith and stop limiting him by reasoning things out. Because that's what we do. We think, we analyze. I'm a great analyzer. We think, we analyze, we justify, we say, well, you know, this will work and this will work, and we put things together rather than not. When we do that, we're limiting our faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope or confidence until the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He's speaking of all those who worked through the battle within, we talked about before. And the winning combination to see faith work. And through faith and patience, they inherited the promises, as do each of us. God is on our side. He's on your side. Faith always wins. God wants you built up in faith so that his grace can be truly unlimited to you, no matter what is going on or what comes. His grace never changes. Ever. But it is by faith we enter in. And faith always wins. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Who needs a healing today? Right now. I mean right now. Wants it right now. Right now. Come on up. David and Teresa, come on up here. Can we do a little demo? You all right with that? If you have to leave, are the kids in the kids' church? If you got to get your kids, go grab them. Well, let's do a demo. Can you move to one side or the other? Yep. Both of you. Thank you. Come on over here. What's your name, young lady?
Linda.
I'm Pastor Mike. Did I meet you before? Oh, you're okay. It doesn't bother me, okay?
No, sir, you haven't met me. It's the first time I've been here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Thanks. Pardon the breast strip there. So what's up, Linda? Can you share this out loud with me, or do you need to speak it in my ear?
No, actually, I came here for the first time. I listened to Andrew for years.
Oh, okay.
And I've been healed. I need healing, too. But I'm here because my oldest son, who's 41, is dying.
Okay.
And I've been praying over him for healing.
Does he know the Lord?
He does, but I believe there's some demonic oppression because of what I hear coming out of his mouth.
Okay.
And he has had Crohn's disease since he was 2, and he weighs maybe 75 pounds.
Okay.
mother's heart is praying that he'll be healed.
All right. Well, let's believe God.
Okay.
All right, let's put faith to work.
Okay.
But let me ask you first, for you.
Okay.
What do you need healing for? Give me one thing, just one.
Okay.
Not a laundry list.
My head.
What's wrong with your head?
Foggy, like crazy.
Oh.
I can't, my memory and foggy.
How long has it been going on?
A number of years from a lot of stress.
Stress? Okay. Do you have tightness in your body or anything? In any of the areas?
Yeah.
Any other symptoms that go along with this dullness in your mind? You know this is no big deal for the Lord, right? You feeling it right now? The dullness?
I do.
Is it all the time?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have an injury?
No.
Okay. No trauma?
No. Traumas.
Oh, traumas. Physical traumas.
Emotional.
Emotional traumas. Okay. All right. Well, this is so easy. You ready to receive?
Yes, sir, I am.
Your brain's going to clear up. Then we'll pray for your son, okay? All right. You two stand right here, side by side. Okay. Linda, now can I have your hand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, yours aren't cold. They're nice and warm. Thank you, Jesus. All right? Praise God. Praise God. Close your eyes. You've had a hard time receiving. Because you've been trying to do it. And you've been trying to take care of everybody else. Instead of trusting the Lord, you've really taken on something that doesn't belong to you, haven't you, Mom? It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. What's your son's name? John. You know John is the Lord's responsibility? No, really. Do you know that? Keep your eyes closed. Do you know that he's the Lord's responsibility? You've been hearing that yourself. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that it is really hard to receive when you take the responsibility for the Lord and what his responsibilities are onto you? It's really hard to receive because then you're responsible for the whole world. Everybody's life, everybody's heart, everybody's physical ailments, everybody's deliverance, everybody's salvation. You've really taken that on. Close your eyes and keep them closed. Mom, you don't get to do that. First of all, we're going to release John. We're going to release him. Can you do that? I mean, really? You ready to let him go? All right. We're going to release him. And then all the rest of your kids, we're going to release them too. All right? I want you to do this out of your own mouth. Release him. Release him to the Lord. See yourself doing it right now. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay, we're going to do it together. In Jesus' name. You ready?
Yes,
going. In Jesus' name, I release John to you, Lord. Oh, there he goes. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I want you to picture all six kids, other kids, all of them. Got them?
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, I release them all. To you, Lord. To be Lord in all of their lives. From now on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Wow, that was about 1,000,000 pounds that came off of you. You want to talk about things that will hinder you from receiving by God's grace. When you're responsible for other lives that belong to the Lord, then you've made yourself responsible for something that is not yours, carrying a burden and a weight that you cannot deal with. You were never made for, built for. You're not the supplier of God's grace and His love. He is. And He is way bigger and more able to do in their lives than you can. Now, I'm going to put your hands together, put them down at your in your front there, and I'm going to pray, and the dullness is going to go, okay? Actually, I need to put my hand on right on top of your head. Is that okay? I don't want to mess your hair up, but all right. In Jesus' name. It's lifting off right now. Yeah, I do too. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for setting Linda free. She's finally able to receive, Lord. Her mind is clear. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Be at peace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Your life has changed today, Linda. Praise God. Praise God. Stay right here. Okay? Now you two, take one hand. Take the other hand. Okay? In Jesus' name. Lord, we come to you, and in Jesus' name right now, I speak to John. Crohn's disease is not a big deal like anything else. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Lord, more than anything, would you intervene in his mind, in his heart, and help him to see you, to know you, Jesus. Lord, would you stand by his bedside and touch his hands and look in his eyes and help him to draw right into you right now in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, Crohn's, you don't belong in his body. And I command you, get out. Digestive tract in the whole system. All that malfunction is a part of the curse of the law. And John has been redeemed from the curse of the law because you became a curse for him. You did. He didn't. And in Jesus' name, Crohn's, die right now and leave his body. Now, Holy Spirit, would you help him, cement to him that something's happened and it's done. And Lord, let hunger rise up in him and have, boy, just, I mean, want food right now. And I thank you that it digests well in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Thanks, you two. We're done for now. He's bigger than that. The Lord's bigger than that. Don't worry. Okay? Don't worry. How you feeling? Yes, I am. Okay. Now, I know we're late. Do you care?
No.
Do you see how easy that was?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I didn't do a thing. Jesus already did it. He already did it. Did you all see the changes that happened in Linda? Right then. Right then. This is what he's called us to when we make a stand for righteousness and truth and the reality of the gospel. Because this is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. All of us. All of us. And faith always wins. Say it with me. Faith always wins.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, does anybody else need prayer right now? Right now. Bethany, I'm going to give you to David and Teresa. All right? Now, take authority and just do it. Don't mess around. All right? Come on, Bethany. Right up here, right over in that corner. Anybody else? Anybody else? We might as well just do it, right? Anybody else? Or is this it? Well, get up here, Lori. Is this something right now? I want right now. I want right now, right now, right now. I don't want in a sweet by and by. I expect right now. I'm going to put this on a podcast, okay? Okay. What is it?
Allergies. Food allergies.
Food allergies. Allergies. I don't want the list.
Okay.
I only want one thing. Did you come up? Okay. One thing. Allergies. You know this is no big deal. Okay. Now, Lori, you've been in our church for a long time. Everybody that we pray for, we do it differently based on what the Holy Spirit says. Close your eyes. Now that's enough of that. All right? Keep your eyes closed. Put your hands down to your sides. Put your head forward. I'm going to put my hands on your head. I'm going to mess up your hair a little bit. All right? You okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. You're tired of allergies. Aren't you? Do you hate them?
Yes.
Have you tolerated them, Lori? It's time to repent of tolerating them. Say this with me. Father, close your eyes. In Jesus' name, I am sorry for tolerating something that you paid the price for. To remove from me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm done tolerating it. In Jesus' name, I reject allergies. All of them. The whole list. In every part of my body. Now I'm going to pray. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pray. Let me pray. Just me. Allergies, I command you. Stop it. You've been trespassing in her body for long enough. Get out. In Jesus' name. Scat. And the linkage, the link to the allergies, I break it right now. The link that has been in your mind, I break it right now. In Jesus' name. No more. No more. Say it with me. No more.
No more.
In Jesus' name. I'm free. Hallelujah. Now go eat. Really? Go eat in faith. Just go eat. Go have something. And expect to be well. Okay? All right. Good. Praise the Lord. Anything else? Are we done? All right. You are dismissed, and thank you all for hanging out. I love you all very much. See you next week.